In his second letter to Timothy, the Apostle Paul writes these words, "I charge you in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who is to judge the living and the dead, and by his appearing and by his kingdom, preach the word. Be urgent, in season and out of season. Convince, rebuke, and exhort. Be unfailing in patience and in teaching." This is In Season and Out of Season, a Bible teaching ministry with Father Tom DiLorenzo.
Good day, it's Father Tom, and I'm glad to be with you today. I have with me Eleanor McCullen. Today in Boston, it's a real rainy day. But we want to encourage you today because we need to be encouraged. What does encourage mean? To put heart into. Encourage means to put heart into. Now, we've taken this scripture, but we're going to look at it again, just one verse. And Jesus spoke a parable unto them to this end, that people ought always to pray and not grow faint, not get discouraged. Now, we've been having at Planned Parenthood people coming and things are happening. People coming in numbers and things are happening. Now, when I say numbers, Eleanor's going to tell you what that means. Now, I'm not talking about 20 at a time. I'm not talking about 18 at a time. But Eleanor's going to tell you about who's been coming and what's been happening at Planned Parenthood.
Well, good morning. Thank you, Father. I have a lot of excitement in my voice because things are happening in the last 3 weeks that I'd like to share. And as you know, I always say, when we share these stories, Father, it gives glory to God. And He loves us to share our stories. Whoever's listening, you have stories someplace. And sometimes people say, well, I don't want to say anything because it looks like I'm bragging about myself or something. But that's false humility. So anytime you have a story, you know it's all God. You know it's all grace. You know it's all mercy. So then you have to tell people. You have to spread around what Jesus is doing, and it does give glory to the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. So, Father, let's see. We had this past 3 weeks. Now, here's the thing. 40 Days for Life has stopped. Remember how people were coming out? But guess what? It's continuing, and it is so powerful, Father. It is so beautiful. So I'll just kind of catch you up a little bit. For 3 weeks now in a row, we have had 7 people that come out. Now, the prayer people might have been 2 or 3 before. There's something about 7. There's something about 8. There's something about numbers. There's strength in numbers. And to see them, they're praying. Honestly, they're praying from their heart. Lillian and Carmel and Bill and Leonard and Marie and Josephine from Holy Rosary Parish. She came out last week. And Francine, I know I'm leaving out some people, Father, but picture this. All those people I said, and they're right in front of Planned Parenthood, right a little bit between the street and the door. And they're just praying their hearts out. And you know, they pray the rosary, but they also, right before they say the decade, they talk about what the decade means and what happened to Jesus and the agony in the garden. So there's a lot of discussion, Bible reading and scripture. Then they go into the rosary and they don't mumble this. It's not like a little quiet thing. They speak it loud, like my voice right now. And so people going by, see, things happen when you don't, they're there to save women and babies, but the Lord uses everything anyway. So people going by pay attention. They might hear a phrase of Jesus in the garden, or Jesus died on the cross, or Jesus carried his cross. I don't know what people hear going by, but they walk slowly, they hear something, and the Lord says, fine, my people were there, they said the something from the scripture, now I will honor that. I will plant those seeds deeper and water those seeds in those people that walk by. So honestly, just in that alone, that's like amazing. But just the fact that they were there praying for women, as you know, Father, we always pray for the woman first, the man first. They're there. They don't want to be there. They're scared. They need to feel love. And these prayer people, they're like the women going in, they say, gosh, how could these people stand here for 3 hours and pray? They must care. And what am I doing going in here? It makes them stop and think. And honestly, Father, so the first week that happened, which I guess would have been 2 weeks ago, what happened was Frank Porter gave out roses that day. Well, he gives them out every Wednesday. And they were yellow roses. And now the prayer people are there. You can try to picture that. I'm a walker back and forth waiting for couples and people and women. And Mary's there, Mary O'Donnell. She's doing what I'm doing. But then you have this circle, seven or eight prayer people. And the two women did go in to Planned Parenthood, didn't really want too much information. But they sat in the waiting room, and they waited and waited, and they came out. And so Mary said, what happened? Like, she said, we were sitting in the waiting room, and I was looking at the yellow rose, how beautiful it is. And it just touched me, like, look at that rose. So the Lord used the rose. He can use anything. But the point is, we have to do it. Like, Frank has to bring the rose. We have to give the rose out. And that's all the Lord asks us to do. Do something. Do something small. That's small. Giving a rose is small. It's not a big deal. But the Lord makes it a big deal. He makes it big. But if we are not there to hand it out, well, guess what? It's not going to work. So they came out and they said, we couldn't do it. They kept looking at the rose. And interesting, the guard didn't take the rose away from them. And sometimes he does. But he didn't this time. And last week, there was another couple came out. They were still holding the rose. So maybe he's changed. That would be nice, wouldn't it, Father? Maybe he's getting convicted.
Amen.
So, but anyway, they came out, and in fact, they are the two women. They said we couldn't do it, and then a big smile came on her face, and we gave her a baby blanket, we gave her a Bible. Now, I don't always have those things. Kathy makes the blankets. Mary gives me the Bibles. See, we're all a team, but you have to be a team. And without a team, there's no strength. And without strength, there's no success or grace or things happening. And this goes with whatever you're into. It's not just in my work. It goes with everything. You just keep Bibles in your car. Keep things in your car. And the Lord will say, good, I'm going to show you a person you can give that Bible to. So now this week, that particular woman, I'm taking over to Pregnancy Help in Brighton at 10 o'clock. So that's a good story. She's happy. I keep in touch with her. Like every third day I call, and she's fine. And now she'll see the ultrasound on Wednesday morning. So then the next week, the prayer people are all still there. And a woman came out and went over and said to one of the prayer people, thank you for being here. I just couldn't do it. So that was the second one. Then this week, pretty much the same thing. And it's just, I know it's the power of the prayer. Actually, the power of the prayer strengthens me. I feel courageous, and I feel protected. I feel strength myself. I'm blessed. And I thank them. I said, thank you. I just felt so good. Well, anyway, these two women talked and talked with me. Oh, gosh, Father, maybe 10 minutes. I gave them everything I had, but they said, we still want to go in. So I always say that I don't like to see you do that. It's such a dark place, and it's all about money, and they're not going to encourage you. Like, you came on the radio program today, Father, and you say we're going to encourage, and that's what we do. We empower. We tell people, you can do the baby, you can go to school, you can have that job. It's a challenge, but you can do it. We don't say, oh, you poor thing, I think we can help you remove that little boy from the womb. Just pay us the money, please. We don't do that. And I'm afraid when they go in, that's what they're going to hear. But they did go in. But I felt so confident, Father, that they were going to come out because they listened intently. And I basically offered them everything that I could think of that would be. In fact, I showed them a picture of the baby that's 8 weeks old, and I went with the heartbeats at 21 days, and the brain waves are forming at 10 weeks, and I think that God gave me everything I was supposed to say. So now everybody had left. Our group came. Then I can't forget Sandy and Eddie and Carolyn, who plays the keyboard on top of her car, and Sandy and Eddie, Patrick. And, Father, I don't want to leave anybody out. But so they're there, plus the seven. So we look like a pretty powerful group of people that are compassionate. We look like a powerful group that cares about human beings, that cares about women that are in a dilemma. And that's what is impressive, and that's what's powerful. These people could be doing anything. They could be out bowling or playing ping pong or, I don't know, reading a book at home. But here they are. They're standing on the street, and sometimes it's a little cold and windy and so forth. But here they are. So then I said to the Lord, where are those women? They didn't come out. So I'm sitting in my car from about 11:20, and it's almost 12 o'clock. And, you know, you have to have a cutoff, like, you know, shall I leave? Shall I wait? Are they going to come out? I don't know. So I said, 12 o'clock is my cutoff. I always have to give the Lord a cutoff. Lord, I'm leaving at 12. Well, Father, you know the answer. You know what I'm going to say. About 2 minutes, I almost kind of did give up. I wasn't really looking at the front door anymore. And then I looked at the front door, and it was like 1 minute to 12. And here come the two women. And they looked up and down the street. They were looking for me. So I jumped out of the car. And, of course, I had my coat off and my hat. So I said, it's me. I'm waiting for you. And they said, oh, and they said, we couldn't do it. Now, the other miracle in that was that they saw the ultrasound in Planned Parenthood. So I said, did you ask to see it? And they said, yes. And I said, okay, that's the law. If anybody's listening to me now, you're going in there. You say, I would like to see the ultrasound. You have to request it. They will not show it to you, but it is a law that they have to show. Then my young lady said, could I have a picture? She said that to Planned Parenthood. And they said, no pictures. So, of course, they're not, you know, going to go any further than the law, which is you have to at least see it, see the fetus in the womb, see that there is something in the womb that wasn't there 8 weeks ago. So there again, it was the prayer people. I did wait. There was another thing. I waited. I put out a little bit of time there, but you know what? It's nothing in the scheme of things. You know what it reminds me of? When St. Augustine, this is kind of digressing, but remember when St. Augustine was writing all of his books and everything, and then all of a sudden he stopped, and somebody said, why'd you stop writing and saving all your stuff? And he said, it's all straw. So I'm telling you, I waited in the car, big deal. It's not a big deal. It's a little thing. But there again, it goes back to what I just said. It's a little thing. But the Lord said, thank you for waiting. I will honor that, and I will multiply what you did with something else. And I see it time and time again, Father, and you do too. So it's nothing like profound. It's simple, but it works, and it's good, and it's holy, and it's wholesome. And so I wanted to report that and thank all the people for coming out. It was absolutely amazing.
Tell us about the fire truck.
Okay, well, here's like a little story of something little. Everything I do is basically little, like, but it turns out to be better. But the thing is that you have to begin the process, and I'll tell you what this process is. Marie, that's in Holy Rosary Parish, very lovely. She gives me some toys now for my children. For the mothers. And so she gave me a bag of toys, and I happened to have them in the trunk. And so a woman was going by. She was not going into Planned Parenthood. She had a stroller with a little boy in it. So I don't know why I do these things. I had the trucks in the car. So I said, she's walking by, and I said, hello, oh, beautiful little boy. Isn't he beautiful? And he was. And I said, does he like trucks? Oh, he loves trucks. He loves trucks. So I said, oh, good. So I open up the trunk of the car, and I get out a fire truck, an ice cream truck, an ambulance, and they're all in good condition. Well, she was thrilled. So she was thanking me and hugging me. Well, what happened on that one was a woman saw all the, it wasn't confusion, all the goings on, I guess, at the trunk of my car. Nobody knows what goes on out of my trunk. So this other woman came by, and she said, I said, do you need any toys? I have all these toys in here. She said, no, but she wasn't very happy. She said, no, she didn't need toys, but she came over to see what was going on. But she said, I need help. So I said, well, what's going on? I thought she meant she needed help with groceries or something, but she, Father, was going into Planned Parenthood. And so from the trucks, and then the other woman was so happy, and I think that the woman that changed her mind about having the abortion saw the joy in us. And somehow because she just wanted that joy is the only thing I could think of, because she started to talk to me, and she said yes, and she never ended up going into Planned Parenthood, and she is going to Women's Concern. I want to mention Women's Concern in Revere, and she lives in Revere, so she is going to Revere. And so for an ultrasound and for her counseling session. So I don't know what it all means, except it means stepping out and doing something. Now, I know yesterday's Gospel Father, I'm going to kind of change it around a little bit, but if you remember yesterday's Gospel, it was about the talents. It was a parable. And one man had 5 talents, and one had 2, and one had 1. And what did they do with them? Now, Father has pointed out to me, he said, Eleanor, that means money. But I'm going to turn it around and say, why not use it as gifts? If a person has 4 gifts and they use their gifts, what do they say, Father? Use it or lose it? I don't know. Use it or lose it. You have 4 gifts. What are your gifts? I don't know. Everybody has gifts. Nobody can call me later and say, I don't have any gifts. But everybody has gifts. They have a talent. They have something they can do. Write it on a piece of paper. Say, what can I do? Then if you have 3 of them, 2 of them, then use them. And, you know, just like the trucks in the car and just like all little things like that, they'll multiply. The 2 that you have, you'll use them. And then you'll say, wow, I did this, but look, this happened. So all of a sudden, instead of 4 or 5, you're going to have 8 or 9. And then the other guy, he had 2, and he used them. You use what Lord gave you. And the other guy had 1. 1 gift is good. That's what God gives us. 1 gift is fine. But guess what? That guy, what was wrong with him? He was afraid. He was afraid. He didn't want to look left or right. He wanted to keep his gift. As it says in the Bible, he wanted to hide his gift under a bushel basket. And the Lord says, put your light on top of the bushel basket. So he was afraid. And I think that's sometimes what happens with us, Father. We have gifts, but we're afraid. Why are we afraid? Well, we're afraid because we don't. Well, what will people think? What will people think of me? Or, as you always told me years ago, I'm too old. I used to have gifts, but I'm too old now. I don't have those gifts. I used to do a lot of stuff. The thing to remember, Father, is concentrate on what you can do and not on what you can't do. It's true. When I was younger, I did other stuff. I can't do that now. So life changes. People get older, but there's still stuff that you can do. So instead of, complaining, just say, all right, I can't do what I used to do, work in a pantry or carry wheels on wheels. I can't go up those steps anymore. Well, that's fine, but what can you do? And that's what I'm suggesting today. As Father pointed out, we're encouraging. What can you do? What is your gift? It's a gift. Think about it. It's a gift given by God, and he wants you to use it to build up the kingdom.
And I know you're hearing lies. I don't have gifts. Well, that is the lie straight from hell. Everyone has a gift, and we need to use that gift. What if it's singing? We need to use it in singing. What if it's money? We need to use it in giving. Whatever the gift is, we need to use it. You know, we're on the radio every single day. Hopefully, I have a gift of preaching. I believe it. I believe it, and so I use it. And you continue to use the gifts that God gave you. Now, I do not have a gift for taking account in my checkbook, because I don't do that. So my gift is not accounting, that's for sure. I have nothing to do with accounting. I just kind of keep as much money in my checking account as I need. And I don't have to check it because I know that I have more than I need. But I don't keep an exact amount what I have, because that's not my gift. You might say, well, you better do it. I'm not going to do it. I'm not going to do it. You can say do it, but I'm not going to do it. Like people said to me, Father Tom, you need to get the flu a shot. I said, I'm not going to do it. And I'm not going to do it because I never got it before. It's not that I'm opposed to flu shots. I'm not opposed to them. I just don't want them. And, you know, that's just the way it is. And people can tell me, Father Tom, you've got this gift of speaking to young people. Well, I used to have that gift. I think I still have it. And I'm waiting for the young people to come so that they can hear the gift. I heard a story yesterday. The woman told me that the prayers were answered that she asked me to pray for. There was this woman who was a drunk, and she was dying. Her liver was dying. She was dying, and everyone gave up on her. But you know what? The Lord touched her through the prayers, even though we weren't there. And this woman is healing now, and she's ready to be healed. She's, her liver is getting better. Things are happening. This is that happened yesterday that they told us that all these prayers are being answered. Jesus gave us a parable that we should pray and not get discouraged. Discouragement is nothing to do with what Jesus has for you. You know, today is not a good day outside. The sun's not shining. But you know what? Jesus is with you. Jesus is with you. Jesus is with you. You know what else? Jesus is for you. Jesus is for you. Jesus is for you. No matter what happens today, Jesus is with you. And he's going to help you get through today as a blessed person. As a blessed person. It would be wonderful if people, more people would come out to Planned Parenthood on a Tuesday or a Wednesday. There is power in numbers. There is power in numbers. So we've seen 7 people that have been praying their hearts out, and we've had 3 saves. That's wonderful. That's absolutely wonderful. What would have happened if they weren't there? We have no idea. We only know what happened because they were there. And that's the thing that we have to remember. Pray, 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 and don't get discouraged.
Thank you, Father. A couple of other things. You know, when you think you're doing one thing and something else happens, once you start to take that step in faith, we were there last Wednesday, a small little Jewish woman came over to our group, but she singled me out. She said, I just want to talk to you by yourself. So I went over to her, and it was so beautiful, Father. She said, I'm Jewish, but I was in a store last week, and I found this on the ground, and I feel that it's something special. So she went into the bottom of her purse, and she picked out a rosary. I said, oh, this is special. She said, I knew it was special. And so she said, tell me what it is, and who are the pictures? So our other group was ending up in prayer, so they were a little far away from us. They were singing and praying. And at the same time, I was telling this woman that this is Jesus, the crucifix. He died on the cross. You know, the Messiah is here, and you don't have to wait anymore. He's here. In fact, he lived, and he was born, he died, and he rose from the dead. And she's listening intently, and she wanted to know where me. I showed her that's the Blessed Mother on the rosary, and then I said, you know, we love Jewish. I said, Jewish, Jesus was Jewish. And I said, he is the Messiah. And just when I said that to her, she took her hand and put it up to my face. And it was so beautiful, Father. You'd have to be there to see it. And so I spent about 10 minutes with her. And I said a little prayer that the Lord would reveal to her deeply. I said, but he's revealing it to you because you found that rosary. I said, this is the beginning. And so pray deeper. She said, I'd like to wear the rosary over my neck. And I said, well, yeah. She said, I can't. She said, when I go back to where I live, she said, when you're Jewish, you can't say out loud that you know Jesus is the Messiah. I said, that is so sad. And so she's going to call me. I gave her my number, and we said a little prayer. But I've heard that before, Father. Any Jewish people that are hearing, step out, step in faith, and tell other people that you do know that Jesus is the Messiah.
We had a young girl that came last night to our praise session, and I saw her on the Days of Glory, and she is Jewish. And she said, well, I was Jewish. I said, no, you will always be Jewish. You love Jesus. You are a Jewish Catholic Christian. Jewish is like saying, I'm Italian, and because I accepted Jesus, I'm not Italian anymore. That's not real. Or I'm American, and because I accepted Jesus, I'm not American anymore. That's not real. I am an American who loves Jesus. I am an Italian who loves Jesus. I also like prosciutto, but that's another issue. I am Jewish, and I love Jesus. I'm a Jewish Catholic Christian. This is so important. You don't lose that connection you have with your family. As a matter of fact, it becomes stronger. It becomes stronger. We are for the Jewish nation. Amen. We are for God to show himself to our Jewish brothers and sisters. Amen. We want to love Jewish people. I want to love Arab people too. I don't want to dislove anyone. I want to love people that God sends to me, whether they be Jewish or Arab. God sends them to me, and I want to love them the best way that I can. Sometimes I don't do it because I'm negligent, but God calls us to love people, to love people. That's the whole thing. How many of us just forget to love people? Well, the angel of the Lord declared unto Mary, and she conceived of the Holy Spirit, "Behold the handmaid of the Lord, let it be done unto me according to your word." And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. The Word of God became a human being, and he pitched his tent among us. Oh yes, his name is Jesus, and he loves you, and he says, keep on praying. Today I ask you to pray for my brother. He's having a very hard day. Just pray for my brother that God give him a better day today. And, I asked him today, can I pray with you? He said, no, doesn't want me to pray with him. But I'm asking you to pray for my brother Anthony, because he's having a very hard day today. And pray that it go better for him, that things happen in his life, that he can give his life to Jesus, as well as be healed. God bless you.
This has been In Season and Out of Season with Father Tom DiLorenzo. A tape of this week's series of messages is available to you with a donation when you write to this new address, Father Tom DiLorenzo, P.O. Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. Please make a note of it. And remember that this ministry is supported only by the donations of listeners, so please help as the Lord leads you. That new address again is Father Tom DiLorenzo, P.O. Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. And be sure to listen again next time for In Season and Out of Season.